This program's Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly. It's your connection to local music. And our guests today are Jonathan Severe, who is one of the leaders of the Central Illinois English Country Dancers, who are in giving their 14th annual Playford Ball, and he's brought along with him the leader of the band for that event, which is the Big Blue Stem English Chamber Ensemble, and that has a story behind it, apparently, which we will hear, and you'll hear about the Playford Ball and who was Playford, and what is English country dance, etc. Then coming up at around 12:30 or so, Robin Kirtan will be with us. Robin is the director of the Community Center for the Arts in Urbana. They have a whole bunch of summer camps, music camps and art camps that she's going to tell us about. That's around 12:30 today. It's all on Live and Local on FM 90.9. Those were a couple of tunes performed by the Baltimore Consort coming from a collection called The English Dancing Master, collected by John Playford, and the tunes here called John Come Kiss Me Now and Newcastle. And I understand that Newcastle is going to be among the tunes played at the Playford Ball, the 14th annual Playford Ball, this Saturday, May 30th, at the Illini Student Union on the University of Illinois campus in Urbana, in room 314, to be specific. It's sponsored by the Central Illinois English Country Dancers and features a group called the Big Blue Stem English Chamber Ensemble, as led by Catherine Everingham. Catherine's here with us, and so is Jonathan Severe, who's one of the organizers of the Country Dancers and also of the Urbana Country Dancers, I believe.
Well, I'm involved with them, yes.
Yeah, so Jonathan, thanks for coming in, and Catherine as well.
Thank you.
Kathleen. Now, I'm screwing her name up all over the place here because I have it written right somewhere else, and I've been saying it right the whole time, and I just wrote it down wrong again. Well, thanks for coming in. And first question that I have is because I have been working for WILL for just my 13th year, finishing up my 13th year on the 1st of July. That'll start my 14th. And that means that for 13 of your 14 years, yeah, I have been seeing these notices about the Playford Ball. And I've always wondered about it. I've never gone out for it. So tell us about the Playford Ball.
Well, first off, John Playford was a book publisher in London in the 1600s. And he published a book. The thing that he's best known for today is that he published a book in 1651 called The English Dancing Master, which was a collection of dances and music for those dances that were popular in England at that time. So that means they were being done in the early 1600s, because published it in 1651. And he was the first person to put together the instructions for the dances and the music that went with the dances all together in one book so that people could buy the book, go home, learn the dances, learn the music, and do it themselves. So it was sort of the first, do-it-yourself dance instruction manual with music and everything like that. And it became super popular. It was, just a really big hit, both in England and throughout Europe. And, of course, the Americas, the colonies. And there were editions of the book for about 100 years. John Playford and then his son and then his grandson published the, multiple editions of that book. And at one point had like 1,000 dances in it.
But these are, and these are not tunes he composed.
No,
but just collected.
He collected, yes.
And
he
off
was a
of
publisher,
them,
you know, an editor.
And a lot of them don't have any composer credited.
That's true. It's there are some where you can say, yeah, that came from Purcell or some other composer and got adjusted so that it would work with dancing. But most of them, we don't know who wrote the dances. We don't know who wrote the dances or who wrote the music that goes with them.
Did he tend to just put in the tune? Or is there a tune and some accompaniment with it? Or are there words to them?
I think that mostly, I don't have a copy right here in front of me. And I've seen some facsimiles of some of the original. I think that mostly it was just the straight tune.
And it was left to the musicians.
And then it was left to the musicians to figure out.
It was left to the musicians to put chords and harmonies to it. Should I say that again?
I think we caught some of it, but do come as close to the microphone.
It was left to the musicians to put chords and harmony and to dress up the tune.
Right.
But the basic tune, musicians knew what to do with it. I mean, they always have.
and some of the tunes were indeed popular tunes that had words, popular tunes of the day that had words that went with them. And I think there might have been sometimes had the words in the thing. I think I've seen some additions of that. But for the most part, it was just the tune, the basic tune, and then the basic instructions for the dance.
And so what decided the Central Illinois English Country Dancers to start this Playford Ball?
Well, in the early 90s, there was a couple of folks named Susan Burt and Larry Stout, who have done English country dancing for many, many years. And they started having some people over to their home occasionally to have dances. And they actually live in Normal, Illinois, but they would invite people over. And we'd push back the furniture. And initially we just did, you know, recorded music. And Susan would lead us in some dances. After a few years of doing that, it was decided, hey, you know, let's try and do this on a more regular basis. So we looked around, found some space here in Champaign where we could have, at the Champaign Park District, actually, where we could have dances, and started having a monthly dance. And we decided that, hey, if we're going to have monthly dances, we should have a ball periodically to sort of have a special event. And so the first year we had a Christmas ball. We started in the fall of 95 and then had a Christmas ball in December. And then in the spring of 96, we said, well, we should have a ball. What should we call it? And a lot of the groups around the country have a Playford ball named for John Playford, but not necessarily only using dances from his book, but also other ones as well. So we said, well, we'll have a Playford ball in the spring and a Christmas ball in the, you know, end of the fall.
So you brought along with you Kathleen Everingham, who, are you a member of the Flatland Consort also?
No. This group that's playing for the Playford Ball is a blending of the group I'm primarily playing with, which is Big Blue Stem, which is a string band that does everything from Americana, Fats Waller, traditional music, Cajun, English, Irish, Scottish, Welsh, you name it. Lots of country, too. And the Flatland Consort, which is the usual band. Two members of the Flatland Consort are playing with four members of Big Blue Stem. So it's a blended band.
Yeah.
And
so,
because of that, I wanted to get the word English in there in the title, and also that it's a different character of music than we usually play.
But since it's four of you and two of them, you get first billing, Big Blue Stem,
yeah.
English Chamber Ensemble.
Yeah. Yeah, we normally have a group called the Flatland Consort that plays for our dances and our balls. But due to a variety of conflicts, a number of them were unable to. So we had to scramble around and find an alternate group. And luckily, there's a lot of musicians here in town who can handle a lot of different kinds of music. So we were able to make arrangements with Kathleen and her people to fill in.
Let me insert something here. This goes way back, 25 years, Jonathan, you and me. Dr. George Lowry, who started the contra dancing here, used to, after he got contra dancing going through the YMCA on campus and Thornburn Center when it was still here and then moved to the Phillips Center, of course, occasionally he would run a dance that he called elegant music, which was the English country dances. And there were always some people have a preference. They prefer this. It's a little more elegant sounding. It's a more moderate speed. It's more colonial versus the contra dancing, which is much later, which has elements pulled in from Indian circle dances and African banjos and things like that. It's the character is a little different, and the speed is a little different. What I have seen in town is that some people, as we age and become presbyopic and a little less aerobic, there is a transfer. A lot of the people prefer the more moderate speed. It's still lively, but not as fast. You're not going to have a heart attack on the floor doing an English country dance unless you're in really bad shape. And
so you're saying that the English country dancers tend to be older than the contra dancers?
Well, that's actually not true. We've had a lot of young kids coming to both the English dance and to the contra dance.
Talk about the costuming.
Well,
Jonathan, there's that.
I think that is one thing that interests some people. Obviously, everybody has their own reasons for coming. And one thing that people like is that some people like is the fact that a lot of people, not everybody, maybe half or more, dress up in period costume or some variation of that, some kind of something that looks like from the 1700s. And I know that there are some people who and there's a whole family of young kids that really love putting on costumes and wearing, you know, the girls all make their dresses and things, and they make the big hoop skirts, and that was their primary reason for coming, because here was a chance to
dress up
and go and do something, and then they get hooked on the music and the dancing. And so,
I was just going to ask, where do they get their costumes? I mean, do they typically make them themselves?
I think a lot of people make their own. I mean, there are some places. I've seen people rent things at Dallas and other places.
You can buy patterns online. Yeah. There are lots of places. This is actually it's a nationwide sort of like a reenactment. There are other kinds of reenactments. There's colonial reenactment, and there are Civil War reenactments. And in just about every major city in the U.S., you can find an English country dance group and contra groups.
Yeah.
So. And the costumes can be had for all these things.
Yeah. And we generally don't, I mean, most people don't dress up except for the ball. You know, it's a special event, so people
that's
will
why
wear
you call
their,
it a ball.
Yeah, they'll wear their special clothes for that.
Sure.
At our regular dances, our monthly dances, people just wear whatever's comfortable.
Well, Kathleen, you brought your violin. So why don't you, we have to understand that none of these tunes at the event are going to be played just by the violin. There is this band. So she's solo today.
I'm solo today.
So what are we going to hear first?
Well, the Queen's Jig, which has the date of 1701 on it. So
I'm kind of looking across the way here at the music. So it really is just two lines of the tune there, which you played a couple times. And it sounded like with a little bit of a variation maybe the second time through.
A little bit. Most of the dances fit into a structure eight measures. The eight measures repeat. It's called the, there's two sections to these, a lot of them. We call them an A section, a B section, or section one, section two. Each section repeats. And the movements, the figures in the dance fit to the phrases of the music. So that da-da-da-da-dum-ba-ba-ba, that's like four steps, maybe four steps forward, four steps back. Da-da-da-da-dum-da-da-da. And that's another four beats. And that may be another piece of a figure or a whole figure. Da-dum-ba-da-da-da-da-dum-ba-da-da-da-da-da. This is more Jonathan's stuff here than mine. But the point is that the movements work with the structure of the music.
Jonathan, we had on the show somebody from that other group, it's your band of country dancers, and we had some players in there, and we had a caller.
Right.
Now, is there a caller also for this?
Well, we do, yes. We go pretty much the same as the contra dancers. I think that, in a sort of a way, because with contra dancing, the caller chooses a dance and the band chooses a tune, and because they're all 32 bars each, they go together, which means that you could have the same dance with different tunes done at different times. With English country dancing, there's almost always one tune that goes with a given dance, which means that after you've done it a few times, the music, in a sort of a way, reminds you what the movement was. I mean, it helps trigger your memory that, oh, okay, when this piece of music plays, I do this. I circle or I turn by the right hand or whatever it might be. So you'll hear people say things like, the music tells you what to do. Well, it doesn't really, but it reminds you, and sort of, you know, you get it ingrained in your mind that when this piece of music plays, you do these figures. And in some way, there's a goal that eventually we would be able to just have the music play, like Kathleen said earlier, and everybody would know, oh, that's this dance, and they would just do the figures. However, these days, back in Playford's time, people went to classes, and they took, you know, they went to dancing masters who taught them the dances and the music that went with them, so that when they went to a ball, they didn't have to have somebody tell them what to do. They might announce, oh, they were going to do this dance, and everybody would just line up, and the music would start, and they would know what to do. However, these days, people don't have time to do that. So we do teach each dance, you know, walk it through, and then we have somebody who prompts it, at least a little bit to get people going. Ultimately, we hope to be able to drop out and let the music play and the dancers dance, and they just enjoy hearing the music and dancing the dance.
So it's more a prompter than a caller in this case.
We go for that. We shoot for that anyway. But the caller or the prompter, his or her job, is to be there to make sure things go well. And if something happens, some people, you know, forget, can jump back in and tell them, okay, here's what you do, and get people back on track.
You're listening to Live and Local on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly. We're talking with Jonathan Sevier of the Central Illinois English Country Dancers and Kathleen Everingham of the Big Blue Stem Band, in this case adding the phrase English Chamber Ensemble. They're going to be the band for the 14th Annual Playford Ball, which is this Saturday in Urbana at the Illini Student Union on the University of Illinois campus. There's a warm-up session at 7. We'll talk about that in a little bit. And then the Playford Ball starts at 8 and goes until 11 o'clock. Why don't we hear another tune?
Okay.
What are you choosing for us this time?
I'm going to play...
Quite a long list, it looks like.
Well, no. It's just... The repertoire for this particular dance has already been set by Jonathan and the other callers or instructors. And this is Peter Barnes put out two books of Playford that this group uses. And so I've got the pages, but I'm only doing like one tune on this page, one tune on that page,
okay,
and so on for that repertoire. This tune I'm going to play is called Draper's Maggot. And before I play it, you should have Jonathan explain what maggot
what
means.
What a maggot is. Yeah, that's a good name.
Well, for tunes. There were a whole bunch of dances that are called, you know, so-and-so's maggot. There's Mr. Beveridge's maggot, Mr. Isaac's maggot,
Draper's
Jack's maggot, Draper's maggot. There's a whole bunch of them. And maggot, you can think of it as being, it's a word that comes from a Middle English word that meant whim or odd fancy. And fancy is also a word that is used in the name for tunes that go with dances. Yeah. But I think, and a lot of people also feel that it whether it started out this way or just became this way, it's related to the term earworm. It's a tune that gets into your brain and just keeps going around and around and around. It's a real catchy tune. So everybody was, I think, whether people said, ooh, that's a real catchy tune, and so they named it Maggot, or whether they wanted people to think it was a real catchy tune, and so they named their tune Maggot, I don't know. But it was a very popular name for tunes and the dances that went with them back in the 1700s.
Having just seen the new Star Trek movie, the term earworm is not, I have a very different image.
Yeah.
Which if you've seen it, you know what I'm talking about. If not, it's worth seeing.
Yeah.
I think, anyway, colloquial use, a tune that works its way into your brain and won't quite leave. And when you go home from the dance, you're still remembering snatches of it.
So here's somebody's Maggot.
Yeah, Drapers. And the date on this one is 1721.
Draper's Maggot. There you go. The earworm that'll be going with you all day long. Which you can hear at the 14th annual Playford Ball, as you also do your dancing yourself. I understand, Jonathan, that there, from reading this description here, that there is an annual king and queen of the ball chosen.
Yes, and that sort of falls back to the, goes with the costumes. So what we do is we have a couple of people who act as judges, and they look for the best male and the best female costume, and then we have a little little prize for them at the break. We usually have a crowning of the king and queen. It's just a way to sort of encourage people to make an effort and dress up nicely for the ball.
So is this something that people, that you're definitely going to have some folks trying for the king and queen?
I think so, although you never know how much of a impetus that that has on them. But yeah, I think people do try and dress up and look nice.
Some other aspect of
it.
Really, I want to say something here, that one of the loveliest things about English country dancing, and contra as well, is that there's ideally, and it happens at every dance I've ever played for, at some point there's just this perfect symbiosis that happens. The dancers have gotten what figures go with which phrases of music, and everybody's got the calls down, everybody knows what they're doing, and socially it's just this interweaving of the musicians and the music. The musicians watch the dancers and their phrasing according to what needs to happen there, and the dancers respond to the music, and the whole thing just churns around and around and around. And it's lovely to watch. Even if you don't want to dance, it's worth coming out, especially to the Playford Ball where people are in period costume. It's quite a spectacle.
Well, it sounds like it. As I said at the outset of this, I've been hearing about it for years, and so I'm finally glad to have the chance to talk about it a bit. Jonathan, you brought along a recording of a full band now, the sort that would play for one of these. Why don't you introduce us to that group and the tune, which is going to be track 17.
Oh, okay. Yes. This is a group called Child Grove, and they're based in Ann Arbor. And they have come and played for, we have a dance weekend in March every year. And a couple of years ago, they came and played for our dance weekend. We did both contra dancing and English country dancing and some other various kinds of, there's always workshops in like Civil War dances or, you know, that kind of thing. And the tune is, it's from a dance called Long Odds. I don't remember the exact date, but it's from the 1700s.
Likely a Playford ballad?
It probably is, although there were other, I mean, once Playford's book became so popular, other people imitated him, and then, so there's a whole series of books that were put out in the 1700s, you know, with dances and music that goes with them.
Of course, you said 1700s, but Playford was 1600s.
Playford, John right. Playford was 1600s, but then his son and grandson continued the...
Some other Playford.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So here's, again, the name of the group?
It's Child Grove.
Child Grove here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. From Ann Arbor, Michigan, called Child Grove, playing a tune called Long Odds, and heard here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. The sort of thing you might hear, you will hear, at the Playford Ball, the 14th annual Playford Ball this Saturday, being put on in Urbana by the Central Illinois English Country Dancers at the Illini Student Union on the University of Illinois campus. How common is it, Jonathan Sevier, use a piano in a band?
Very common. Yeah. Are you using a piano this?
Tom Anderson is going to be our pianist, and we also have two guitars and a recorder player and mandolin and myself. So the character is a little bit different. Tom doesn't do quite the style of playing that you find on this album, but he's a very able accompanist. And he is part of the regular consort that plays for the group routinely.
We've had flutes, harps,
bagpipes,
yeah.
But Scottish small pipes,
accordions, and fiddles, violins, of course, cellos, piano, all variety of
whoever's
instruments.
Available.
To some degree. The group can vary from three people to nine people.
Which has got to be plenty authentic. Which is plenty authentic, I imagine. Before we wrap up and start talking to Robin Kirtan about her summer music camps, Jonathan, talk about this warm-up session and the need or lack thereof to actually know anything about country dancing.
Yes, we intend it to be the sort of thing that people can come, even if they've never done it before, and just join in. So at 7 o'clock, we're going to have a warm-up session. And if somebody wants to come but has never done it before, the thing to do would be to come at the 7 o'clock. And we'll go through some of the real basics, the formations and some of the basic steps, which are very simple. And as Kathleen said a little bit ago, if you can walk, you can do these dances. It's mostly just smooth walking and time to music.
And people will help you if you get lost. You don't even need to be able to chew bubblegum and walk.
Do the just some basics to get people familiar with what's going on. And then, as I said, we'll have every dance will be walked through and then prompted as we go with the music. So you don't have to know anything before you come.
We forgot to mention the word fun.
Yeah.
The real bottom line reason that people do this is it's fun.
Well, I think I'm definitely getting that impression, so I hope we're leaving that impression with people. For more information, where would they go, Jonathan?
Well, they can go to our webpage, which is just got changed to www.centralillinoisecd.com. ECD.org.
Central Illinois ECD.
Which stands for English Country Dancers.
Country Dancers, who are giving their Playford Ball on Saturday. 7 o'clock the warm-up time, 8 to 11 is the ball itself. And it's at the Illini Student Union, University of Illinois campus in Urbana. The band is the Big Blue Stem English Chamber Ensemble. Kathleen Everingham has put it together. She's been with me today, along with Jonathan Sevier, on Live and Local on FM 90.9. Thanks very much to both of you for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
And Robin Kirtan will be with us in just a moment. She's director of the Community Center for the Arts, also in Urbana, and talking about some of their summer music camps. Was something called a Sundance from the Wand of Youth Suite number 1 by Sir Edward Elgar. He wrote several such suites, and this was played by the Ulster Orchestra, conducted by Bryden Thompson, here on FM 90.9. The show is called Live and Local, and we have some focus on youth and lots of other people who might attend some of the summer programs being presented by the Community Center for the Arts in Urbana. Robin Kirtan will be with us in just a moment on Live and Local.
Two of the performing stars of their time were violinist Fritz Kreisler and pianist Sergei Rachmaninoff. They copiously recorded their own compositions, but they also joined forces in recordings of sonatas by Beethoven, Schubert, and Grieg. I'm John Frayne. Join me as I sample these duo recordings on Classics of the Phonograph, Saturday at 10 on FM 90.9.
And Robin Kirtan is the director of the Community Center for the Arts, which is in Lincoln Square in Urbana. And she's with me today on Live and Local. And Robin, remind me, how long have you guys been around? I've lost track, and I'll bet it's longer than I think. You're looking like you're not even sure yourself.
I'm getting my fingers out. No, okay. We opened our doors in the September, I believe, of 2006.
So coming up on 3 years.
Right.
And this is going to be your second round of summer camps?
Well, actually, I suppose, officially as the Community Center for the Arts. Our whole thing started in 2003 with the Bodacious String Band Summer Camp, which got wildly popular beyond my wildest imaginations and kind of led to the formation of the whole community-based arts center concept. So we'll be doing that camp. We'll be having our 7th season of Bodacious String Band Camp, and we've expanded that into a whole family camp. And we're taking sort of a plunge and adding a classical chamber music element for adults. The idea is that some fiddle player and kid has a dad who plays cello and wants to come have a camp experience with his kids, or mom. Moms can play.
Well, I know at least one mom who has done that.
Yeah.
And there's more. Is this the World on a String Family Summer Music Camp?
It is, right. That's being held. We actually do that one here on campus at one of the university residence halls, and that's in July. And it's fun. The staff is exceptional, and the students are all great. It's a day camp. You can commute if you live around here, or because we have it at the dormitories, people from out of town come and they just stay in the dorms while they're here.
I always think this is a funny term to call, and everybody does this, of course. It's a camp, and you stay in dorms. I always think you ought to be staying in a tent out in the woods somewhere.
Yeah, I know.
Lighting fires.
I think it would be great, actually, if we did. I'm not sure about the combination of little kids, violins, and fires.
Yeah, I was had that image just now myself. Didn't seem like the best option.
Yeah.
Tell us, for those who don't know, about the Community Center for the Arts. And you termed it, I think, a community-based approach.
Mm-hmm.
Or you have a different kind of approach to music teaching and learning.
Right. Our basic philosophy, at this point, the bulk of our instruction is stringed instruments, and the bowed instruments, violin, viola, cello, and the plucked instruments, guitar, banjo, bass. We do have a little bit of piano and some accordion and harmonica and other sundry things like that. But the thing that's interesting is I've been very fortunate to find just the right people to put on the faculty who are good, capable musicians and teachers and also have a real community mindset. They like the idea of collaborating with each other, and they like the idea of interacting with the community outside of just the private one-on-one lessons. And so we have a number of, for example, we have adult classes for guitar and fiddle and banjo, and those are really popular. And every once in a while, the adults all get together for a little jam session. And the whole idea is just to build a musical community. And in addition, we have 4 violin teachers on staff, and we have fairly regular discussions about the way we teach and some brilliant idea that we came up with that we just can't wait to share with each other. And there's a lot of, you know, I have a problem, I can't figure out what to do with this kid, what would you do? And so there's a lot of interaction between the teachers. And I make it really clear when we take on a new teacher that it's you're part of a team. And that expectation has yielded really phenomenal results, I think.
And there's even sometimes some shared teaching where you might send somebody to one of the other people for some particular reason.
It's true. Just the other day, I sent one of my violin students, and one of the guitar instructors was waiting for a student, and I said, well, go play with him for a minute. And it was great because he just got a small dose of being accompanied by a rhythm guitar, and it was just what he needed to kind of get him excited about going home to practice some more. Yeah.
Which is a significant issue, I think.
Absolutely.
So in what way is the Community Center for the Arts not in competition with some of the other community music schools, would you say?
I think there are a lot of ways. I would say that I prefer to think of us, and I think I've spoken with the directors of the other schools too, and I think we're all in agreement that while we could be construed as competitors, we prefer to think of each other as colleagues. And we do, there's sort of a, you know, if I get a call for someone who lives way on one end of town and their schedule just doesn't allow them to get to our lessons, then I say, well, you know, maybe you want to call the other school and see if they can get you in. We do have a kind of a collegial relationship with the other music schools in town. I think part of our reputation is based on the fact that we do have a pretty extensive popular music component. All of the violin teachers and the cello instructor are very firmly grounded in classical technique, and our students learn that. But we can also teach other things, and that is the kind of student that we tend to attract, not exclusively, but we tend to, you know, get people who are interested in playing maybe different kinds of music. Also, we do a little kind of hybridization, not officially really, but we do have a small art program going, and we do have some crossover from that. Somebody who signed up for art classes has wound up becoming one of our guitar students, and so there's a little bit of that kind of thing going. We do a lot of we like to try to do community interaction. Our most recent really fun thing was at Christmas time when we involved local environmental groups and other performing groups in this Green Santa production that we did. And that was really
fun.
Yes,
I remember the Green Santa production.
Right? Yeah, it was fun. It was art and music and environmental awareness all wrapped into one little bundle.
And there was a Green Santa, I believe.
There was. Yes, he told us how we could be environmentally aware during the holidays. That was a good job for him to do. People who are, you know, like as I was saying, a lot of our reputation so far has been because we do teach popular music. I'm really proud of that. But I'd like to stress also that that's not the only thing that we do. And we're finally getting off the ground this summer. We're inaugurating a new camp that it's called the Fine Tuners String Orchestra. And it's going to be a classical repertoire. It'll be based on the same model as the Bodacious String Band, where meaning that multiple age ranges and multiple skill levels can all play together. And we do, just like with the Bodacious, the arrangements can accommodate that. But the repertoire will all be classical literature. And I'm really looking forward to seeing how that goes. We plan to have our first session in August, the week of August 3rd. And the idea is to do just like Bodacious did, is use the summer camp as a thing to get started and then carry it through the year. And, you know, maybe as a director of a youth orchestra, having a little training ground for people who like classical music is an interesting idea to you.
I think any time that students can get more experience playing is a good thing.
Yeah.
As long as it doesn't conflict with my rehearsal, that's what I always say.
Oh, no. No, actually, I think that we would not conflict with your rehearsal. We go to great lengths to avoid that.
Yeah, we're talking about the East Central Illinois Youth Orchestra, which I will just butt in and say, because I'm thinking about it, is holding auditions this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So if there are listeners out there who may be parents of students, that's happening, and you can call the Conservatory of Central Illinois, one of the other community music schools.
One of our colleagues.
There you go, at 356-9812, and schedule your audition. We'll come back with Robin Kirtan in a minute and hear about more of the quite numerous summer camps being put on by the Community Center for the Arts in Urbana. You're listening to Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly. And just for the fun of it, I thought I'd throw in a rather bodacious string piece right now. Bodacious because the guy who wrote it was 12.
Oh, nice.
And you probably know who I'm even talking about is Felix Mendelssohn, who was, some say, even a greater prodigy than Mozart. And this is the last movement of the fifth of his 12-string symphonies that were written between his 12th and 14th year on Live and Local on FM 90.9. Final movement from the String Symphony No. 5 by Felix Mendelssohn. He was 12 when he wrote that, believe it or not, and a performance by the Northern Chamber Orchestra of England, led by Nicholas Ward. Heard on Live and Local on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly. We're talking with Robin Kirtan, director of the Community Center for the Arts, located at Lincoln Square in Urbana. And they've got a bunch of summer programs. We've mentioned the Classical String Orchestra for kids. We've mentioned a number of other camps. And you even have this year, Robin, a rock camp.
We do. It's a rock camp. Our faculty has a very wide background of exposure. And We have three rockers on our staff. Actually, four, if you count one of our violin teachers who used to sing with one, with a rock band.
That counts.
That would count, yeah. So we decided that it would be really fun to put together a rock band. And there's going to be a rock band element of the Bodacious String Band for younger kids who want to try their hands at playing some rock. And it'll be a kind of a wide program featuring, you know, classic rock and rockabilly and blues and whatever metal, whatever it is that interests the kids and that they can do a nice job on. And so we also have these separate just rock camps in June and July. And the instructors decided that they wanted to do two-week sessions so that you'd come every day, Monday through Friday, for 2 weeks, and then they would give you a strong dose of rock history and theory and in ensemble playing and teach you how to do licks and all these kinds of great rocking things. And I'm thinking it sounds like a really great camp. And if I really had the time to take up the guitar, I might want to go.
Why don't you mention in the couple of minutes we have left, run down the list of your other camps, and then what does somebody have to do in order to sign up for one?
Okay, well, in addition to the Bodacious String Band camp and the Fine Tuners Classical camp, there's the rock camp that I just mentioned, and we also have an art camp that meets in one-week sessions starting in the middle of June and going all the way through July, or through most of July, I suppose. And those are one-week sessions that kids from, I think, 8 to 14 is her age range. It's specific on our website, in case I messed up. And that's taught by Lori Caterini, who is a very, very skilled, like, technique. She has classical tech. She's kind of like the rest of the staff. She has really strong classical technique, but she's not really stuck using it all the time. She can do a lot of different things, and she has a very whimsical nature and deals well with the kids. So that's the art camp, and they'll be doing drawing and fabrication of things, strange models come out of there. It's kind of interesting to go down and see what they're doing. To sign up for any of these things, you can call 384-2946, and you can also visit our website, www.c4a.org, and it's the letter C with a hyphen, the number 4, the letter A.org.
Although I discovered it'll come up without the hyphen.
Oh, will it?
On a search, yeah.
Well, that's nice to know. You could also just Google Community Center for the Arts Urbana, I suppose.
Because I didn't remember the hyphen, and it
came up. That's wonderful news, because yeah, that hyphen is hard. People forget it sometimes.
Yeah, or at least it came up on my previous search. So
great.
C-4A.org.
Right.
And there's info there not only on the camps, but all of the other programs that you offer throughout the year.
Right. Our private lessons and all of our events and what we're doing and what we hope to do. So it's all there.
Robin, thank you very much for coming on the show.
It was my pleasure.
And we'll have to do it again on some other topic, including we were talking about having one of the numerous groups that you play with.
Yeah, that would be really fun.
Have you come in and play.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot. You're listening to Live and Local on FM 90.9. And time for a pretty short calendar. I don't have a whole lot on my list. If you'd like to get your event or your organization on our Living Music calendar, please send that to me at willcalendar@illinois.edu. That's W-I-L-L calendar@illinois.edu. Here's some of what we have on it right now. It's heavy on Champaign Urbana, but that just means we don't know about yours yet. Donnie Heitler is doing some solo jazz piano in Urbana tonight at 6 o'clock at the Great Impasta restaurant. That's attached to Lincoln Square. It's the weekly traditional Irish music session at Bentley's Pub in downtown Champaign. That is at 7 o'clock. Tomorrow at noon at the Mills Breast Cancer Institute at Carl Clinic, they have been running a music series, a free music series, a short concert at noon. And this week it's Braggadocio, who are some resident baritones from Carl Clinic itself and from the hospital. Mitchell's Bluegrass and Gospel are going to be at the Dockside Cafe at Kickapoo Landing at Kickapoo State Park in Oakwood. That's Friday at 5:30. And we talked earlier about the Urbana Country Dancers. They are giving their weekly Contra Dance in Urbana Friday from 8 to 11 at the Phillips Recreation Center. And, of course, then coming up on Saturday, the Central Illinois English Country Dancers presenting their Playford Ball, as we talked in the first part of the show. Our weather forecast calls for, if I can find the weather forecast, mostly cloudy sky this afternoon with a chance of a brief shower or two, maybe a thunderstorm in the afternoon, the high 79. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a chance of a few passing showers, the low 56. Tomorrow, there will be intervals of clouds and hazy sunshine with a high of 72. We're currently at 75 at just a few seconds past 1 o'clock. The show is now being archived. Go to our website, will.illinois.edu. Find the Live and Local button, and it'll take you right to that page. And you can find whichever show you may have missed. We've only been doing this for a few weeks and hope to catch up on all the shows that went all the way back to February. It's WYLL 90.9 FM and HD Urbana, the listener-supported broadcasting service of the College of Media at Illinois. We operate translators W293 AF Danville and W266 AF Urbana. Julie Amacher is next, or rather follows the news at 106 with more music.